We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Merely Bo, the great Z. And what an awesome way to start the program.
I see what you did there.
On the precipice of WrestleMania, one might argue the most important WrestleMania of all time, we are joined by the most must-see WWE superstar of all time, our own, The Miz. How are you, sir?
What's up? How are you? You guys doing okay?
We're great,
dude. I mean, it's the kid has been so excited next to me for this weekend, all week. And to have you on, it's a real thrill. This is a big one, buddy. Big one this weekend.
Well, you know, it's WrestleMania 40, and anytime you have, you know, The Rock coming back after 12 years, hasn't wrestled, and doing what he's been doing for the past, I guess, month has been absolutely incredible, fun to watch. Yes. And then all the other superstars are literally like, you look at Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, we are all on, and myself, for our truth, we're all the best we've ever been, and the crowd is really piling in. Our shows are all sold out, like, every time, like, usually, like, at live events, like, you know, in my entire career, live events aren't usually, like, sold out. They're, like, you know, 50%, 60%, 70%, you know, 3,000, 4,000 here. It's, like, 10,000 every night. Like, it reminds me of, like, the Attitude Era. If you remember the Attitude Era, everyone would walk out, and the crowd would react to everyone. Like, it was like blowing the roof off the place. And it's kind of the feeling nowadays. And with WrestleMania 40, I'm in a six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles. Myself and R-Truth were called Awesome Truth. And I'm excited, man. I've been watching ladder matches nonstop for the past month, just getting ready for this thing, because it's hard to prepare for a ladder match because it's just, it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't practice falling off of a 20-foot ladder. It is a six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, and they said that there will not be a winner until both sets of belts are removed and possessed. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out. The Judgment Day, the current champions, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, DIY, Johnny Gargano, Cleveland Zone, Tommaso Ciampa, Awesome Truth, Miz and R-Truth, The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and the New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And I got to tell you, first of all, let's talk about the fact that you and Truth were a tag team before, and the last time you guys were a tag team, the Awesome Truth, was to take on The Rock, I want to say a decade ago, when he came back at Survivor Series and teamed with John Cena against you two. So is it crazy to you that you guys are back together? Yeah, first match back.
It was a sold-out Madison Square Garden. Rock just came back after 9 years not wrestling. Where it's basically first match. And Truth and I were on a rampage for probably about 3 months and just terrorized WWE because we felt like we weren't getting the opportunities we deserved. We never went after the tag titles, though. We went after, you know, The Rock and John Cena and, you know, the biggest stars that we had. And so now, you know, getting back with R-Truth, it's like, you know what, let's get the one thing we've never had, which is the tag team titles. So that's what we're going for. And, you know, the Judgment Day have been kind of tormenting Truth and myself.
Yes.
And so now it's just kind of like payback. Take away their most prized possession, and that are the tag team titles.
I would love nothing more.
But this
than
match is really interesting because, like you said, with the whole until all the titles are held. So, you know, I guess the questions that I have is, Okay, so say are they all four going to be up there? And like, you take, if someone takes, you know, the SmackDown brand, and the other one takes the Raw brand, are there two different ones, or do they, like, it's a lot of questions for me. But I've been preparing. Well, I bought ladders when I found out, like, oh, man, I'm going to be in a ladder match. I bought ladders to practice at, not necessarily practice at home, but you don't understand how high the ladders are until you start climbing them. Like, they're 8 foot, 10 foot, and 12 foot ladders. So you're falling from like 10 feet high. That's like a basketball hoop.
Add your, like, 6 feet of height,
like,
to
your
that.
Your feet are that high.
Right. Yes, like your head is 18
it's not
feet
like
in the air.
Dunking a ball, you know, and it's like jumping, like, you know, 2 feet off the ground. You're 10 feet, so your knees are gonna feel it. Your ankles, your body, you know, your spine's gonna be compressed if you fall off of there. So it's a very dangerous match.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always tell kids not to try what we do at home because we're trained professionals, but it's very hard to train for a ladder match. And, you know, I'm always trying to figure out new ways, innovative ways. And I think everyone is. I mean, there's 12 people in this match. I imagine everyone is coming ready and prepared. And, you know, it's going to be one of those matches that is going to be remembered and stand the test of time.
There's no doubt. I mean, you have a couple things working for you, obviously. When Kofi's in there, you know he's going to do some stuff. You've got DIY and Grayson Waller and New Catch. Those people are making their WrestleMania kind of debuts in terms of matches. They want to get that moment. So Finn Balor, Damian Priest, yourself, R-Truth. I mean, you've got a lot of people in this match, a couple of former world champions, and yourself and Kofi Kingston. It's going to be – I'm excited for it. But I wanted to ask you, because you're talking about Awesome Truth the first time you guys are together. Do you remember – I remember vividly being in my basement – doing First and Awesome on Sirius, and at the time there was an angle where R-Truth had gotten fired, and we did the first interview with him since he got fired, and he was like, how am I going to feed my kids? And all, and I thought it was one of the funniest things we've ever done.
What people don't understand is how funny Truth truly is. Yesterday we went out and we tried to find the best Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I tell you, we did it for an hour and a half. We went to five different places, and I was crying laughing at some of the stuff he just comes up with. Like, tagging with him is like a breath of fresh air, because I'm so used to, you know, even to this day, like, still things surprise me, and it's very hard to surprise me, but they do. And Truth kind of told me, like, we were at a live event, and I was like, you know, he's like, we're just going to be the tag team that has fun. And in my head, I went, yeah, but if someone beats you up, you know, your initial reaction is, I'm going to beat this guy up. I'm going to take him out. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Blah, 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 blah. And he was like, no, man, I know what I need to do in the ring. But when I get out there, I want the entire audience to be having a good time and to be having fun.
I like it.
And I was like, you know, you're so right. Like, sometimes I get so caught up in story and in other things that I forget what's the main base. We're trying to make this audience have as much fun as possible. We're trying to make those kids have as much fun as possible with their families and their friends and just enjoy themselves. And that's exactly what we set out to do. Now, we want to win the tag team titles, but we're going to have fun doing it, and you're going to have fun watching us do it.
I love it.
That's who won the cheesesteak, by the way, Miss? Did you crown a winner?
Yes, I did. I'll put it up on Instagram and TikTok.
Okay.
But let me tell you something. I went to Tony Luke's. I went to Ishka Bibble's. I went to Angelo's. And I went to, I can't remember the other name. And then Gino's and Pat's. I've already been to Gino's and Pat's, so I know what it tastes like. So there is one clear winner. Like, literally, like, there's two that are above. It's like a ranking, right? There's two that are above and beyond all of them. Like, it's like, wow. All the cheesesteaks in Philly, that's basically where it's created, right? So, I mean, that all of them are good. Like, all of them are very good, right? They're better than average, better than anything. Now, granted, when I was in Cleveland, I worked at Mr. Hero, which is known for Philly cheesesteaks. So I know
that's
what a Philly cheesesteak should taste like and should be. And so I like to consider myself a good cheesesteak connoisseur.
A connoisseur.
And so I used to flip them. I used to make them, like, for my entire, like, high school career. Like, I literally would spend my summers and weekends at Ridge and Dennison, Mr. Hero, flipping cheesesteaks, you know, to try to buy my first car, which was a 1988 Firebird, aging myself. It was 12 years old at the time, but still.
That's a fantastic awesome first car. That's a great first car.
Way better than mine.
Yes, yeah. Mine too.
It was a V6, dude. It was a V6.
You humped.
It was a beater, though. Like, I had to get so much work done to it, but I loved it. It was my first car. It wasn't like what you think it would look like or what it was, but I paid for it in full myself. Like, it was, awesome. I wanted to take pride in that. Like, sometimes, you know, daddy buys your car, mommy buys your car, and my buddy who would drive me to school every day would be like, oh, daddy bought his car. Daddy bought his car. Mommy bought his car. And I was like, I'm never going to have my dad buy me my car. And so I just because of him saying that every day, I was like, I don't want someone saying that about me. I want to do it on my own. And so I did. And it kind of set my like precedent, I guess you could say, of like what I've always like set out to do. Like I'm motivated by, you know, proving people wrong and, you know, making sure that I work for everything that I have. And and hard work always pays off. Even if you don't think it's paying off at the moment, it pays off sometime from what you learn from it.
Did you run your the cheesesteak pick by Stefanski? Because I know he's got a Philly guy. He would have a strong opinion on that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I got to ask him. I got to text him.
Yeah, do.
Ask him.
Yeah, he'll be all over that. I'm curious to see what he thinks of your rating.
But there, let me tell you something. I rated him. I did it like a Dave Portnoy type of thing, you know, one bite every nose rule.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of graded him. But we went to the first two we went to were the top two. So I kind of graded him, in my opinion, a little low.
Yeah.
For like.
Right, because you were leaving room.
I was expecting Philly cheesesteak, right? I was expecting, oh, man. You can't start high, right?
No,
you
just can't. Of course not.
The first one I tasted, the first bite, I was like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. This is the best cheesesteak I ever had. But I can't give it like a 10. I can't give it a 9.
No, you know? Right.
Because you give it nowhere to go.
Are you pro Wiz?
The first two I gave too low of scores, but there's one that literally is significantly. You know what? Okay. I'll tell you what it was. Just because I'm nice and, you know, I'll do it before
I
even.
You can save it for the IG. It's fine. We're building it up for the people. They'll chase down the gram.
Don't you worry.
I was just curious.
Okay, we'll save it then. We'll save it then. But look at my IG and TikTok. I was literally about to tell you what it was. But it's by far and away the best.
Does it have Wiz? Are you pro Wiz on the cheesesteak? Because around here it's usually pro.
Every cheesesteak had to have the same. The same thing. So we did Wiz Wit because that's kind of the standard here, right? Like
that's the standard. I'm a thing. Provolone. If I have
yeah,
to
so I wanted to get the standard. I want their best.
I want their.
So we did Wiz Wit. Yeah,
I love it.
Pretty good.
Check it out.
But man, I mean, Mania's been insane so far. Like I have not stopped like for anything. Like today, I have signings at WWE World, which is basically like the old. It's old access. Yeah, it was old Access, but it's more than Access. It's more what Access was. You know, we have Pat McAfee's show is going to be there. People are doing podcasts there, live podcasts. You know, there's autograph signings, pictures taking. They have so much things going on at WWE World, and I'm there today. I'm there tomorrow. And then Saturday, obviously, is WrestleMania, and Sunday is WrestleMania. And then Monday's Raw. So it's going to be nonstop jam-packed. Philly is starting to buzz. Like, you feel the buzz usually around today. Tomorrow is when it really starts picking up and people are, like, really getting that energy. And then by the way, it's been raining here really bad.
Yeah, supposedly, though, you're going to be all right on the weekend, right? Supposedly the weekend's going to be all right?
Yeah, but, I mean, what do you think about setup, though? I mean, they got to set that thing up, and it was pouring rain yesterday.
Yeah, not ideal.
All day. I mean, we have big sets.
Yeah. WrestleMania, you have huge sets, especially this is WrestleMania 40. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yep.
I got to ask you one thing. So it's WrestleMania 40. When you thought of as a little kid, right, of getting to wanting to be, you know, you love the Ultimate Warrior growing up, wanting to be a WWE superstar. When you think of the fact that you've competed for, defended, or won every championship there is at WrestleMania, you've done that. including winning the WWE title, which you defended successfully against John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania 27, 13 years ago, I think yesterday, which is crazy. You have gotten to do all of those things. You've gotten to wrestle a match with your wife at WrestleMania. You have gotten to, and by the way, so thankful that everything has gone well with her, and I know people who have been following you guys on social media are well aware, but I'm so happy that that health scare seems to be behind you guys, and much love there. You've done that.
Thank you.
Wrestled a match against Shane McMahon with your father getting in the ring and becoming immortalized in his own way with his pugilist pose. Like, is
he's
do you ever sit there?
Figure, by the way,
he is getting an action from who? From Broski?
Broski's company or whatever asked him to do it.
Yes.
That's so great.
I will own one of those. You better believe that. So, like, do you, when you think about all these things that you've done, how crazy is it to you? Like, every single title, you're a two-time Grand Slam champion, two times over. You've defended or competed for every single significant title in the history of this business at a WrestleMania. Your wife has been involved. Your father has been involved. Like, do you sometimes pinch yourself? And now here you are going in, I'm sure you're thrilled, going into a ladder match.
I pinch myself all the time. And it's just, you put it like that. Like, when you're going through it and you're going through your life, you don't think about it, right? Until someone literally just goes, hey, you've done this, and you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of have.
Yeah.
Because I'm more in the mindset of, like, I want more, right? Like, my head is always moving to the next thing, is the next goal. Yeah. Okay, I hit that goal. All right, now I'm going to make a goal that's so out of reach that I won't be able to touch it. And then once I get there, you're like, wait a second. Goals, like, dreams aren't supposed to be meant to be real life. It's supposed to be when you're sleeping, right? And I'm just trying to make all my dreams when I'm sleeping turn into reality.
Well, you've done
so great.
You've done a great job of that with one exception, and that is winning the awesome fantasy football league. So hopefully
maybe one day,
can know what that feels like. I don't know what it feels like to main event WrestleMania.
That day,
I know what it feels like to win the George three times.
That day is going to be the end.
Will be the end.
I gotta have one thing over you, dude. I gotta have one thing.
All you
just said. That's all you got.
I got fine.
It's all you got. Trust me. I know. I get it. I understand. And it's all you got. Like, literally, you know what the worst part is? This year, I thought I had the team. I thought I had the team this year. And no, I didn't. It was the worst team I've ever concocted in my entire career.
2 years ago, I thought you had the team. 2 years ago, I thought you had the team.
You understand? Like, I win like every year, just not in our league. Like, I win a league every year. It's just, it's that simple. Like, I won the League of Leagues this year. Last year, the year before that, I won Alice in Chains League. You know, I win leagues. It's not like I'm bad.
So what you're saying is you want to be like
bad at the Awesome Fantasy Football League with you guys.
You want to be like the Broski, the king of the indies. Well, we're saying, why don't you come over here to the big leagues and get it done?
I'm going to get it done. It's got to be this year. It has to be.
Well, let's start it by winning the tag team titles for the fifth time in your illustrious career with R-Truth by your side, and then let's see what you can do this fall. But, dude, I'm so happy for you. I am going to be glued to the television. I can't wait to watch. It's going to be unbelievable. WrestleMania 40 is going to be out of control.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Definitely tune in on Peacock. Anyone that's out there, it's on Peacock Saturday and Sunday. You're not going to want to miss WrestleMania 40. It is going to be absolute pandemonium.
All right, I got one last question for you.
Go ahead.
Besides your match, what's the one match you're most looking forward to?
I think everyone's pretty excited about The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. Curious to see what happens during it. And then I'm also curious on the second night, you know, with Drew and Seth, as well as Cody and Roman. Like, I want to know, I want to see what happens there. Right. So it's going to be, pretty awesome.
Are you hoping that he finishes the story?
I think everyone wants him to finish the story, right? I mean, I think that's that's what you want, right? Like, I imagine Cody has a lot of, like, if you don't, it's hard to explain this, but Cody has a lot of pressure put on him right now, like more pressure than anything. I mean, this is the biggest WrestleMania in history, right? And it's in Philly, sold out.
He has a story to tell. And he put himself in this position. He says, I have to finish a story. He didn't get it done last year. He had to wait an entire year for this moment again. And if he doesn't get that done,
that's
like,
it.
He's going to lose, like, in my opinion, and this is just me speaking as a person that's done WWE for a long time. I don't know any information, right? I've learned what I've learned throughout being a WWE superstar. You don't finish the story this year, you're going to lose your fan base. Like, people are going to start being like, you know what? He's never going to finish this thing. Like, it's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So he's got an immense amount of pressure. And during that pressure, do you sink or swim? And in my opinion, Cody Rhodes is the type of person that swims. And not only does he swim, he'll give you a butterfly, a breaststroke. He'll give you every type of thing that you possibly need. And will go above and beyond to make sure that this WrestleMania is one to be remembered. And you close out the night with on a feel-good moment. And that's what I think everyone is hoping for. But,
can I give
you,
my?
You can't.
Go ahead.
Yes. Give me your opinion. What do you got?
Can I give you? This is my fantasy booking. You ready?
Got it.
Here we go.
Go.
All right. Night one, main event: The Rock, Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. They win. Rock and Roman Reigns win. You can get a rock bottom, people spear into a people's elbow, whatever. They win. Now it sets the scene for Bloodline Rules Night 2, which means there are no rules. Anything goes. Cody and Roman have this awesome match, and, of course, the Bloodline gets involved. Solo and Jey Uso, or Jimmy Uso, and The Rock, and maybe they even bring some new people in. Everything. They're throwing everything out there to try to stop Cody Rhodes. But then all of a sudden, the glass breaks, Stone Cold, John Cena, everybody comes back. Mama Rhodes is getting involved, smacking people around, and it evens the field. So now it's just one-on-one, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns. Cody hits a crossroads.
Yeah, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see Mama Rhodes take Rock's Mama Rhodes belt and just start whooping them.
Whipping, I think we're going
like,
to see
that.
I think that's a lock. You have to.
But you never know. That's the best part about, like WrestleMania. We could talk about it right now and like get ourselves amped up and ready to go. But once you're there and once you see it, especially live, there's nothing quite like it. And there's the surprises are always like, how did I not think of that?
Exactly. And that's why it's WrestleMania. I've been to more than a dozen and I love it every single time. All right, hold on. I'm not done
yet. Now you guys don't come. Do you realize everyone's been telling me like, hey, where's your friends at? And I go, yeah, I don't know. Only Gary's coming.
I'll tell you. I'll text you. Gary. I'll text you.
Only
Gary's
coming.
I'll tell you why I'm not there.
God bless Gary.
Hold on a second. I'm not done.
Does your audience know Gary?
I mean, how could they not know Gary? I'll say this about Gary. Without Gary, none of you would have the lives you have today. Full stop.
In his opinion, yes.
It's kind of true. So, all right. So I talk about all this craziness. Just listen.
No one's coming besides Gary. That's it. And everyone is like, where are your friends at? I was like, I guess I don't have any friends anymore.
You have friends.
All right.
Hold on. Let me finish my
booking.
Man. Will you let me finish my booking?
All right, go.
All right. So then it gets all the schmoz happens. Everybody comes back. All the big pops, Rock, Stone Cold, you know, Cena, blah, blah, blah. Ends up one-on-one, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes hits him with the crossroads, finally gets the 1-2-3. The story is over. He finishes the story. Pyro's going off. He's celebrating. All the Cody crybabies are losing their mind, crying tears of joy. It feels like this is a great thing. And then all of a sudden, the final boss gets on the mic and says, uh-uh, I'm the final boss. It's not ending like this. You got to defend that title one more time right now against me. And then The Rock beats him, walks out with the title to perhaps a riot in Philadelphia. Your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think of that one. That's a new spin on it.
What do you think about that?
In my opinion, like, I would rather have a great feel-good moment. And I know it's like, oh, like, let the people riot or whatever. You could still do that on Monday night, too, right?
You could, but I like the feel-good moment. And then what? Do you imagine the heat that he would have? And then you have set up for him and Cody. You have set up now tension in the bloodline, right? Because The Rock's now got the title, and he'd be like, it's all right, Roman, it's still in
Cody
the family.
Cody finishes his story, but it's not the feel-good fairy tale ending.
But it's
that's
not
actually
the finish
great,
you
great,
thought it was.
Great writing. It's
thank
great
you.
Writing.
Well, I've shared it with people.
Very good
who,
writing. It's a good,
maybe
good fantasy booking.
Yeah, thank you. See? Bo doesn't – Bo didn't – because he's
I don't yeah. –
he's not a big of a fan. He's like, but wouldn't people just, like, be happier that The Rock won? I was like – absolutely not. People would be
no,
would
not,
think
right
he was abusing his power, not right
now. Hollywood Rock is back, baby. By
yeah,
the way,
that,
is this
I
the best,
best
Rock we've ever had?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think he's on a whole new level.
I think it is.
He's on a whole new level. And by the way, what the, I mean, the whole presentation from like what they've done now with his song, with the like the Tron yep. and the lightning bolts and the the final boss hits, and then it goes into the old Hollywood Rock music. Incredible. The vests are incredible. It's outrageous. It's so good. It's so,
so good. So yeah, good. So I've been highly entertained by what's been happening on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown for the yeah. past, you know, couple months, man. You know, the road to WrestleMania always, we always bring, you know, our knockout punches, but man, you know, they've been really bringing it this time. All the superstars, all the producers, everyone in the back, you know, it's been a collective team effort. And everyone's been playing their part on high levels.
Never forget that in the modern era, so taking away the beginning of the pre-NFL Cleveland Browns, in the modern era, the first world champion in this city is our guest right now.
That's right.
The Miz. So go
by
out
the way,
there.
By the way, we haven't even talked about Cleveland Stadium.
What do you think?
Like, are we not even just going to mention the fact that SummerSlam?
Oh baby, oh. That's I didn't know if you were talking about the dome. I didn't know what you were talking about. Bo
I'm glad
got nervous.
You went there. I'm glad
yeah.
you went there.
SummerSlam, baby.
SummerSlam.
Let's
wait.
Go. I can't wait.
SummerSlam. I mean, it's going to be yes. at Cleveland Stadium in the summer I think it's August. And when we announced that, I was super excited, ready
yeah,
to
me
go.
Too.
And I'm actually going to be doing all the media for the on sale. I think it's in April 18th or 19th, something like that.
Dude,
like I fly in that the Wednesday night and then Thursday night. Thursday morning, I start at like 6 a.m. and do all media. So
when
hopefully I can get you guys in.
Yeah, when do you leave?
I leave that day. Like
on that Thursday?
I'm in and out, my friend.
Let's break some bread on that.
I'm in and out.
That evening
if there was a Guardians game or a Cavs game, I would have stayed, but there isn't. So I was like, all right. I'm just in and
by
out.
The way, the one benefit of my fantasy booking that I just laid out for everybody, you're welcome, and they should use that, by the way, is that it has The Rock as the champ, which means in Cleveland at SummerSlam, what better story could there be than the hometown boy, The Miz, challenging evil Hollywood Rock for the title at Cleveland Browns Stadium?
That would be amazing.
Listen,
but
I'm available. I'm available.
You're available. Thank you. Good.
I'm available for a few month booking run.
Thank you.
Tell Gewirtz I'm available to join the team for a few minutes.
I'm glad that you're available. Thank you for making yourself available for us at SummerSlam. I'm worried about my dad's going to be calling me about
I
need like 100 tickets, and I'm like, I'm at the bank for his tickets.
Yeah.
You know how he gets.
Of course, but I think he's going to be sick because proud of you.
Are we going to get a dome?
We certainly want one.
We've been pro-dome.
We've been pro-dome for
a long
time.
Oh, my God. I want a dome so bad. I know people are like, oh, we got to stay outside. No, we don't. We do not have to stay outside.
I don't
want to sit in the cold.
No.
And by the way, other events will come to Cleveland if we have a dome. Like,
including
WrestleMania. Including WrestleMania.
I agree. We could maybe potentially get WrestleMania because we have an outdoor or an indoor. But are we going to do it at the Ford? Is it the Ford plant? Is that where it's at?
That is the rumor, the location that has been talked about, yes.
In the vicinity.
How is that enough room?
Oh, it's like 170 acres, according to reports. 170 acres would be bigger than any stadium complex in the country right now. Or as big as
is that right?
It's bigger than you think.
The Ford plant was that big, as big as
a
stadium.
It's a lot of land. It's much land. Mucho lando.
It's right on Brook Park Road. Are they taking out all the strip clubs?
Ah,
Could you imagine our stadium just being right next to like all those?
The question is, where would your dad take your wife when she comes to visit Cleveland?
Oh my God! Right, he's gonna take her to like Sam's Club. That's where he takes
He'd
her.
Have to.
He's like, you want to go shopping?
No,
my wife's
option.
Thinking, oh, we're going to the mall. She takes her to Sam's Club.
So great. there's a lot to see there. It's great value, Mike.
Great value. Yeah. Dude, you're the best.
That's right.
Thanks,
go
buddy.
Go climb that ladder rung by damn rung and get those WWE tag team titles.
Is Haslam paying for it? Is Haslam paying for the whole thing?
Mike, I think we're losing you.
We are not privy to these things, nor are our ability to comment on it is limited.
Oh, really? You can't even comment on, like, because he was, like, paying for it. And I was like, oh, shoot, that's pretty amazing.
I think that is all to be worked out. Typically, what I would say is in a situation like this, there will be a combination of private and public funds that would go into a stadium project. So state, county, local, private.
Got it.
So there you
all
go.
Right, man.
All right.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Buddy.
Well, happy Mania week, and we'll see you guys later.
There you go.
Later, man.
That's Mike the Biz joining us on the Twisted Tee Hotline, by Twisted Tee Hard ST, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. Obviously, we are more than off and running. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And after the recent storms, if your roof is in need of an inspection, look no further than Renew Home Exteriors. They're my guys. Renew offers free roof inspection. Using cutting-edge drone technology, artificial intelligence, they assess the damage quickly. They do it accurately. I've seen the technology at work. It's stunning. They're going to work directly with your insurance company to ensure your claim gets approved hassle-free. It's a win-win. Rest easy. Worry less about your roof with the help of my friends at Renew Home Exteriors. Visit renewestimate.com to learn more. You okay? What are you looking for?
I'm just troubled by the fact that one little earbud thing popped off.
The soft.
Yeah. And I feel like if it's an inanimate object, where could it have
gone? Yeah, where could it have gone?
Could have walked away.
Those things will take a bounce, though. They'll take a bit of a bounce.
Do you need headphones?
No, he's fine.
Okay.
I found out right before we started the show that I did not have my phone.
I know.
Now,
I was alerted by your wife.
My wife alerted you via my phone.
That's right.
Had you texted me?
No.
Leading into that?
No. I
know who will know. And so that was it. So,
how far into your drive did you notice? I would imagine pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. And it was actually right as I got on the turnpike.
So there's no going back.
There can't go back.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of wiggle room anyway. Like, it's got to be, once I eat, I got to go. I mean, I don't have all the time in the world. I have an hour.
You're not lollygagging.
No, I got to hustle over. So, but if it would have been any time, if it would have been pre, I probably would have ran back to get it.
Sure.
But I had just entered the turnpike, and at that point, I'm cooked. So it's the damnedest thing.
Dude, you're living like it's 1990.
It's the damnedest thing to not, all of the things you didn't think about before you had a cell phone, you now think about. Like, forever, you would just drive it. You never thought, like, well, if I get a flat tire, what am I going to do? You'd fix it. But, like, who am I going to call? What if something happens? Can somebody get in touch with me? You never worried about all that.
Because they couldn't. I said to my daughter last night, who was sitting on the couch, we watched the Roman Reigns documentary on A&E, which was really awesome. And I just look over, and she's just like, scrolling stupid videos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what would you do if you didn't have this?
Yeah.
She's like, I'd probably read. I was like, well, maybe you should do that. Maybe do that instead. Maybe do something.
I had that same conversation.
Something more productive.
With NBC.
Like, do you know how much of time of your life you waste scrolling mindlessly at videos? Like, it can't be good for you.
No, and this stuff is nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
Yeah. We were having this conversation last night because NBC is lobbying to put the Xbox and a gaming setup in his room.
Oh, baby.
And
I had that.
And the reason we've always been anti, like, we didn't want that because I don't want them going up there and then they stay in there. So I never wanted TVs in there. But at the same time, like, the stuff he's playing is stuff that I'd rather Bootsy not be maybe seeing all the time. And
fair.
And it's all common area and I'm hearing them yell at each other. We have open floor plans. So I hear them yelling at each other all the time or yelling through the mics. And so you kind of talk yourself into it. I don't know. Maybe it makes sense.
A little isolation.
A little bit of isolation. Yeah. But we were having the conversation. So as you know, Bootsy was grounded from the Fortnite. We took it away Tuesday through Friday every week. So the weather sucks, right?
So
they can't go outside. So I come in the house from picking up NBC from lacrosse, and I go in, and he's watching, like, SpongeBob or something on the TV. And I tell my wife, I said, can I talk to you for a second? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't think this is a win. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I would rather he play Fortnite than watch this.
Doing something.
And she goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, at least he's having to think. He's having to communicate.
Strategy,
he's having to strategize. Teamwork. There's a little bit of hand eye. Like, there's something,
right,
a value that I can get out of this. There's nothing I'm getting out of him watching mindless nonsense. And it's worse on the phone, as you know.
Oh, my God.
My 12-year-old on the phone, like, and it's, as everybody knows, like, this is all just curated to keep you on it. So it's just one stupid video after another. I'm like, this is all just nonsense you're watching, dude. It's one 30-second nonsense clip after another.
Forever.
You're not learning anything, and it's infinite.
Forever.
So I'm like, so then we go, I said, I think let's rethink this. Like, I don't want him on it all the time either. But when the weather's bad, that's a better alternative than just watching nonsense.
Yeah, what about when he's on with his mentor?
I love that. I've told you that. I love that when he's on with you. I love it when I like it when him and his brother play.
Yeah.
And they team up.
They got to work together.
That's great. I love that. So that's good. I'd rather have that than just staring at nonsense.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It helped me bond with my son for sure.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
There's no doubt. Yeah. So we made a change.
So he's back.
He's back in.
All right,
but not infinite.
No.
Like, there's certain check marks that he has to do every day before he can get into it. He can't just get home and then do it. He cannot do it in the morning, so I'm not getting back to him waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Nothing preschool. No.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah. So,
by the way, that was fun with the miss.
That was great fun. Yeah, that was great fun. So we had, and I think you and I asked Stefanski about it, but knowing him the way that we do, I don't think he gave us an answer.
No, but he does, and I wasn't. He has a pizza place.
Yeah, but I think he had a cheesesteak place too.
I'm sure he has a favorite, but the pizza place he felt so strongly about, he had it like brought in for the team.
This is from, this is Island Bum. I did the cheesesteak tour last year over a fall weekend. 9 different places had nothing but cheesesteaks. 2 clear-cut winners. Sonny's Downtown was the clear winner, and then Tony Luke's under I-95 was a close second.
Okay.
So that's his answer.
I'm curious. He was about to give it to us. Like, dude,
I know, but
you can't build up your releases on the gram and then just give a little spoiler on CBD. You gave us plenty. Give us 30 minutes, a bomb with the Miz.
Yeah. It was an incredible
George Mizanin shout-outs. We had it all.
You had everything you'd need.
A George Mizanin figure made by Cardona's company is going to be outrageous.
I didn't know Cardona was doing that.
He does it all, dude. He does it all.
He really is. He's a one-stop.
He is a money-making genius.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He should be called Monetization Cardona. That'd be
a good one. Gibby's stuck in Florida.
So one time it feels like, man, that's a tough situation. But when you've had like 2 vacations to Florida.
This is his second vacation consecutively.
Extended.
Yeah. Now, he will claim that he's gone to great lengths to try to find his way home, but this is two trips to Florida within a month.
Within a month.
Where he has picked up an extra day vacation.
At least.
At least an extra day twice.
Yeah.
Texted Griff and I at 12:15 this morning. Said, good morning, gents. I'm stuck in Florida. We need to figure stuff out.
12:15 this morning or last night?
Well, 12:15, like right after midnight.
Like noon?
Saying, no, 12:15 right after midnight.
Okay.
Saying good morning, thinking Griff and I were sleeping. Both of us were not, and read it immediately.
Oh, my God. So we got to figure some things out.
He said, might not make the flight. Going to try and fly to Cincy and drive home. That didn't work. Now
no.
I think he's flying to Detroit to drive home.
Yeah, and this is a tough. Now, the one thing I thought was funny is, like, even through, like, the Guardians opener, as if that was something that would blow up Hopkins. Like, that wouldn't allow it.
No, it's the other
It's the
men.
Other stuff. Yeah, it's the Final Four, and it's the, like, he added the Guardians opener in it. It's
the
so
Eclipse,
you got,
which is Monday.
And the women's Final Four is tomorrow.
By the way, he was flying back Wednesday.
He's flying back Wednesday. So, but he's saying that he can't get on flights today or tomorrow into Cleveland because they're all booked because of women's Final Four and because of the Eclipse, which is Monday.
Same with the Guardians opener, Monday.
That's Monday, too, which Hopkins can more than handle that. I've had plenty of issues with Hopkins, but people are not flying in for the Guardians opener. So what the one thing I will say, now, I usually fly in a party of five,
yeah,
and that is next to impossible to rebook.
Yeah.
Everything's oversold.
Two.
Every flight you're on is oversold. Two or
one
and one is usually quite doable.
You would think.
He's
what we've
and yet,
heard.
At least in one instance, you'd think it would be very doable, as opposed to twice being extended vacations.
It's good though, because now we have this in this is a move that we have in our back pocket now.
Well, right, and he's not going to have any ground to stand on.
No,
for a long time, because he's had two vacations extended.
Maybe what he needs to do is actually listen to our great ideas about shows for the offseason.
That's so what he should do.
We can all just have extended. Well, they should just get to work on it. They should show some initiative.
They should just do it.
We've heard great ideas from two ginormous bees.
Huge. Big floppy bees.
Humongous.
Absolutely.
And they've given us the wisdom.
All of the Victory Monday shows are ready. Like, all I'd have to do is drop them in a folder and we could play them. Like, those
okay,
are good.
So that's 11.
So that's 11.
You're halfway there.
Halfway home. All you got to do.
Give yourself an up arrow. And
up arrow.
Let me know when you're on the first game, when that's in the can.
Get that first game edited into a two-hour format.
And then guess what? Yeah. Arrow.
Another arrow. Get your arrow up there, Uno. Good job.
Put it up. Good job.
Good job. Very good job out of you.
I like another arrow down for Gibbe, too, with this vacation extending.
Fake vacation. Yeah, fake travel issues again.
By the way, you were
randomly
talking about, they were talking.
I did notice that he never has any trouble getting down there.
No.
That always works very smoothly.
It's so on time.
Yeah, this isn't like last summer when I was trying to go to Charleston with my lovely bride.
Couldn't get there.
And we're stuck in D.C.
In D.C.
I couldn't get there. It's not that.
Jose Andres, right?
It was a great meal. But, this ain't that.
No, this is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
You're losing time on vacation. This isn't like when I tried to go to Disney with my kids.
Right.
And they kicked off the plane and said, no, you can't go till
Tuesday.
No.
Can't go.
By the way, guess what? And that was a party of five.
Yep.
And we were on a plane the next morning.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is interesting.
I think
he
it's
does
worth
say that he's
question.
Flying to Detroit and then driving back.
I'm going to need to see that rental car.
I'd like to see the invoice.
I'd like to see the invoice for the
so
rental car.
They're
it's a mailbag edition, by the way.
It is, and I like you that. So they were talking earlier. I had an incident that happened last night that I think should be a Curb episode.
Let's
and
go.
I want to
Let's
run
it
by
it.
You.
Let's do it.
I'm in bed.
Okay, in bed.
It's 10:50 at night.
Yep.
You know, the wife has, we had early morning, take the kids in. Wife gets up early.
Yep.
You know, we're going to get it shut down here probably in the next 40 minutes by 11:30, I would say.
Yeah.
I get a call from S.
Okay.
At 10:50.
Okay. I would just say if I'm in your head, I'm thinking emergency.
Are
you okay?
So I answer the phone. What's going on? You all right?
Yeah.
He's calling to talk to me about my taxes. And I was like, why wouldn't you just call me tomorrow? Why are you calling me at 10:50 at night? Like, we're in bed.
Because he never stops. Accountants don't stop this time of year.
So he then proceeds to sleep shame me and ask if I'm ready for the early bird special and sends me pictures of grandpas and grandmas walking around with walkers and making fun of how old I am, that I want to go to sleep at a reason. He's like, I stay up till 1 and I get up at 5. I'm like, Congrats.
Whatever.
I'm like, great, good for you. So he's like sending me texts. I wake up and there's texts like, I'm still awake. Still awake.
And then he's up at 5?
That's what he says.
How's he functioning on 4 hours a day?
He says he'll sleep when he's dead. And I said, look, that's good for you. I said, I have activities in my life that require sleep. And he was like sleep shaming me. So I actually had to send a letter to his company.
Yeah.
To say, do you know, because we already know he's a known litterer.
Known litterer. Yep.
Do you know that in addition to being a known litterer, that Scott Lichtenstein, S, who's been outed now.
Outed.
Is a sleep shamer.
Is a sleep shamer.
That's right.
Wow.
So I sent that to the company, and apparently it was, my email was read at a, would you like to hear my email?
I would like to hear. Yeah, I would.
I believe that it was read in a company meeting that drew many a guffaw. So Deb is the lovely woman who works with Scott that works on my my stuff. Said, Deb, are you aware that you work with a sleep shamer? That's right. Scott shamed me for being in bed at 10:50 last night when he called me. I thought a call that late had to indicate a crisis. Nope. He has not stopped sleep shaming me since. We know you prefer the floor, Scott, but some of us like to spend some time in bed before sleeping. Hurtful, sad, NZ. Like a little floor shot there?
All right. Yes, I do. Very good. Number one, I don't believe he's only sleeping 4 hours a day.
I don't believe it either.
You can't function on...
No.
That's what happened to Cosmo Kramer. Remember, he ended up in the East River.
Yes.
You can't... That's impossible. So no one's sleeping 4 hours a day. That doesn't work at all. Second of all, I am lights out right around 11 every night. That's it.
So I would...
I'm up early. I'm up early.
Yeah. My natural rhythm would probably be midnight.
Sure.
But what would your wake up be then
on a midnight go to bed?
7 to 8.
Okay. So 7, right.
Yeah.
So my wake up is between 5:30 and 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So 11.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sad S.
S, I know.
Very sad.
I'm telling him right now that we just discussed, we did a whole seg on his.
He'll like that.
Yeah.
He'll very much like that. Oh, by the way, in the lot today.
Yeah.
So. Montana license plates are designated by the first number in the plate. You know, like how on our tags it says Summit or Cuyahoga or wherever the county, it says it in the sticker. I believe it says it on the sticker.
So in Montana, that number tells you the county.
The number tells you the county. So the first number of the license plate tells you the county.
Okay.
So the county I grew up in was a 26, but this airport that I would fly out of, which was 40 minutes away, was a 2, Great Falls, Montana, okay? In the lot, I parked right behind it today, is a car with a number 2 Montana license plate that was purchased at a car dealership where I purchased my first car.
Really?
Taylor's Automax, I think was the name of it. Right in our lot. Now, who would that be? Mr. Zagura.
Let's get Jay up here.
Let's get Jay on it.
Let's get Jay on it.
Jay would know.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Jay's got answers.
Yeah, he knows.
He can get you a toe.
Get you a toe if you need one.
You don't need to know about the ways. They're ways.
They're ways.
Green nail polish.
That's true.
Whatever you want.
The NFL draft is 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Final Four is this weekend. The Masters next weekend. And you're hearing this. You're hearing these players.
You got Final Four, WrestleMania. The next year is unbelievable. Women's Final Four, Men's Final Four, WrestleMania, National Championship game on Monday. Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania, which is always a great Raw.
Yeah, oh, I was going to ask you, give me the – and certainly not – if you're like me and you're trying to – you're back engaged into the wrestling and you have children who are kind of locked into it, how much of this mania do I need to watch? What am I in for this weekend?
So if you watched it all
– what does that entail?
That'd
What's
be like
all of it?
8 hours.
Oh, my God.
That'd probably be 7 to 11 on both nights.
Both nights. So it's 4 hours both nights.
Yes.
Okay. In for all of it.
Yeah. In for all. Good. So what I'm going to do is I am going to big screen the Miz's match for sure. And then I'm going to big screen the tag match night one. I will second screen the entire show. But those are the two that I want to be like dialed in.
Dial into what's happening.
And then I want to
So when will the tag match will happen at the end Saturday, right?
That will be the main event.
That'll be the main event.
There's no doubt.
So that'll be the end. So that'll be 10 o'clock.
I would, keep an eye on it. But, so you're going to have night one, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch for the Women's Championship, which will be an awesome match. Gunther versus Sami Zayn, IC title, awesome match again. The six-pack tag team ladder match, if your boys will want to watch that. There will be things that happen in this match.
Yeah, they'll be and they like they love Miz. So they'll
and there'll be
up.
Things that happen in this match that will put their jaws on the floor.
Okay.
So definitely watch that. Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso in a singles match, brothers colliding at WrestleMania. It's always a great story. That'll be fun. There's a six-woman tag team match. Then there's the LWO versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. That'll be a great match as well. And then it's the main event. So all of them will be good, no doubt. But I think you want to be dialed for the tag match, and you want to be dialed for the main event. Then the next day, you've got a lot of it's so loaded, it's crazy. You got Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. That'll be a great one and must watch. Io Sky versus Bayley for the Women's Championship. Great match. LA Knight versus AJ Styles singles. That'll be great. This one is going to be very good. Logan Paul, who's the current Intercontinental Champion.
He's still in the mix.
Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens in a triple threat match. That'll be unreal. Then there's a six-man tag team Philadelphia Street Fight, the Pride against the Final Testament. That's going to be filler between, and then that'll be the main event. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. You're going to want to watch that.
Gosh, it's school night, dog.
You're going to want
to
watch
that. How are we going to keep them up?
Sunday
night?
Aren't they out on Monday? I thought all the schools were canceled.
Do they get another day off?
Yeah, for the eclipse.
Oh, for God's
I think sake. Most schools are giving students the day off because my girlfriend has it off. She's a teacher. She's got like meetings in the morning and that's it.
The amount of time off
is
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
All right. Last thing I want to get to you, and then we'll have the man who birthed the show from his loins at 2 o'clock. The A's are going to play in Sacramento, 25, 26, 27. There's an option for a fourth year. It's a 10,000-seat minor league baseball stadium that will expand to 14,000. Do they call them immediately the Sacramento A's? Do they make them the Las Vegas A's? Are they still the Oakland A's playing in Sacramento the next 4 years?
They're going to do no city name. They're just going to go as the Athletics.
Who is running that sport?
Rob Manfred.
That's a joke.
Not doing a very good job.
That is a joke. That's a clown show.
The Rock once did a rock concert in Sacramento. He said, Sacramento, leaving Sacramento. Sacramento, I won't stay, but I'll sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Queens in May. And he gave a little grin. And this would have been
that's pretty good.
WrestleMania 19, so 2003-ish when the
that's peak Lakers peak, Kings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that people didn't like that very much.
No.
They were not amused by his antics.
No. They would not be a fan of that. I would be a very big fan of that.
By the way, I know that there are some people out there in our chat, Jeff McDaniel fighting the good fight out there, that are they don't enjoy the wrestling talk. Too bad. Too bad.
He's a franchise, man. What do you want?
You know what the Rock say? Oh, do you not like the wrestling? It doesn't matter what you think.
I should tell you, for my great friends at the James B. Beam Distilling Company and their family brands, some people would say, and certainly this is the case, that Rye is having a moment. It's funny, I was talking to Swag yesterday, and he's saying that he's finding himself getting into some Rye's, and I said, well, you ought to try A. Overholt, because at Overholt, they've been having their moment for over 200 years. The legacy continues with A. Overholt, the latest chapter, ever-evolving story of American Rye. 200 years in the making. Taste what 2 centuries of experience can make. The latest innovation, A. Overholt. Robust, Pennsylvania-style rye whiskey. The newest thing in rye is also the oldest thing in rye. Vic, coming up next.
Oh,
Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When a medical mistake caused you injury, call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk's proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. And now we head out on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Ice Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. He is the godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily. He is the Bills NFL analyst at WGRZ-TV. He is the great Vic Carucci, and he joins the program. How you doing, buddy? How's April treating you?
April is treating me well. It's great to be with you guys, as always. Love this.
Yes.
You had a little trade there over in those parts. Well, what? Take me through the how it got to this point and your feeling now that it's done.
Yeah, a little bit of a trade. This was massive, of course. And here are my feelings. Number one, the parting of ways between the Bills and Stephon Diggs was, to say it's inevitable is not correct, because that's true with every player in the league. But in the sense of it coming to an end, my sense was this offseason that it would happen after the 2024 season, using the logic of the salary cap, because to part with him this year, you're adding, or the Bills are adding, almost about $3.3 million, 3.24, I think is the exact number, actually, of cap space to his cap hit. So it went from like 27 to 31 plus. And then if you keep him on the roster, of course, it's less than that 3.24 is not there. So the logic for a team that was well above the cap and had to make all that room with all those players moving on or being pushed out, whatever, to clear the space, it just wasn't adding up. But the inevitability, the strain on the relationship, and it was getting harder and harder to see him be a anything but really a malcontent, because that's what was brewing. It was brewing from, you remember that playoff game against Cleveland, the divisional round game, the previous postseason, and then this past offseason, the drop against Kansas City, the unavailability of Stephon in the locker room to talk about it to the media, just blowing it off, and then going into the offseason and really not doing much of anything except his cryptic tweets that would indicate, or cryptic X posts, whatever we call them, indicate an unhappy guy. And I think it just finally reached a point where the Bills said, you know, you're still talking about 100 catch, 1,000-yard receiver per year for the better part of four seasons. To say, willing to say goodbye to that just tells you, and to take that cat bite tells you that they just had enough and were ready to push him out the door.
And that's what they did. How much of a factor was the fact that over the last 10 games last year, including the playoffs, he had fewer yards than Khalil Shakur and was averaging just 40 yards a game?
Yeah, and I think for sure the football conversation came into play. I would have to believe, I wasn't in those sessions, and no one has told me this directly, but I am of the educated belief that they considered everything, including that. Brandon Bean said that term, that everything was included without being specific. And when he says everything and then doesn't go, comment specifically on those social media posts, or as you point out, those 10 games, and really just it looked like a guy who was, obviously the graph was going downward for him in season 9 of his NFL career after such a great start that really revitalized. He became an all-pro with Buffalo. Has a lot to do with the fact that Josh Allen's thrown him the ball, of course. Quarterbacks will make those receivers so much better, and they had a great thing going. I still think it could have been a good thing at the least in 2024, but when push comes to shove and you start to add up what you have, your best reason to believe you're a contender starts at the quarterback position, and then whatever's around him, and it's, I don't say they're bereft of talent there, but let's state the fact, they are now without their numbers 1 and 2 receivers from 2023, right? Because Gabe Davis is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. There are, you know, will the offense have a different look to it? I don't think drastically, and the draft still gives them the chance to fill that spot. And I thought all along, even before the Diggs move, they would have had to be looking at drafting a receiver or possibly two.
Two, yeah. And it feels like that's where they're going to have to go now. What's the sense there as you look around, let's say even that division, right? And you know, the Miami Dolphins are a very, very talented team, and they've tried to add some pieces on that defensive side. You look at the Jets, who I think have gotten significantly better just with Mike Williams, Hassan Reddick, and then that possibility of, you know, actually getting Aaron Rodgers back, which seems like more than a possibility. How do the Bills kind of, in your mind, where do they stand? And is this a team who's, through no fault of their own, they played very well against Kansas City multiple times, but whose Super Bowl window maybe has closed in the way that it was open just these last maybe three seasons in a row?
Well, yeah, you can't ignore that there has been a lot of significant outgoing mail, so to speak, right? The two safeties, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, won't be back. And Poyer, of course, being with Miami, Hyde having a lot of neck issues, surgery. It's very likely that he, at the very least, retires, possibly makes himself available if maybe there's a Super Bowl push or something by Buffalo very late in the season, but that seems like a long shot. Tre'Davious White gone from corner, Mitch Morse. So you can't ignore all those moves and say everything, and now Diggs and Davis, and say everything is fine for the Bills to still be there as a contender. But that said, I will hasten to add Josh Allen's presence as the best, you know, quarterback in the division when, you know, again, on the idea that Aaron Rodgers, iconic, Hall of Fame bound, all of that, but he's still almost a 40-year-old or a 40-year-old guy who has to prove he can make it through a whole season in his new uniform. We still don't know that yet, and that's a big unknown. And I'd say there's nothing else with Tua Tagovailoa, with whoever the Patriots have a quarterback, that would make me believe, as we speak right now, Buffalo isn't the front runner to still win that division. The bigger question is what happens after they win a division or get to the playoffs. Where do they go from here? Because the pecking order of the Chiefs, and now look at Houston, which not only got Diggs, but we know the other additions that they've made at running back, at defensive, right? All those star names. They've really had a heck of an offseason. And what they got for Diggs, I mean, you could argue the trade, they gave up ultimately a second-round pick for in next year. So that's not back to the discussion of Buffalo being ready to just send Diggs away. They didn't get for a number one receiver. That's not much of a haul at all. It does maybe give them ammunition to incorporate into a trade that could move them up in the first round closer to maybe a better receiver if they don't feel like one is going to fall to them at 28. So there's that to consider. Brandon Bean is also known as Trader Bean, and he will make some moves for sure. They still have Dalton Kincaid, who I think as he evolves and they evolve, they'd like to have at least a Travis Kelce-like presence there. I'm not calling him Travis Kelce. I'm saying the skill set could give them a reasonable facsimile. Maybe that's an overstatement too for a guy only going into his second year and who only really started to blossom at the second half of his rookie season last year. And then you mentioned Khalil Shakir. They bring in Curtis Samuel, who is, you know, he's not a number one, but he's solid enough. Maybe it is receiver by committee, including a rookie, because we don't know right away. Does a rookie, you know, they don't all come into the league, Justin Jefferson, and contribute in a dynamic way. Do they, you know, is there wheeling and dealing to be done with T. Higgins? Is that a guy who, as we know right now, wants out and he's tagged, but I'm sure the Bengals have, we should put a pretty good price tag on that. So there might be other ways to augment, but back to the question of, are the Buffalo Bills still a team to contend with? I'm going to say yes, but in the pecking order, I'm putting the Chiefs above them. I'm certainly putting Baltimore, Cincinnati in some level, some order in that conversation. If not above them, then grouped with them. And by the way, the Houston Texans, watch out for that team. I mean, my God, CJ Stroud is still the guy we saw as a rookie, and I know that could be a big ask. for any rookie quarterback. But wow, and of course, you know, the Browns in the conversation. Where is that all going to go? I think the AFC is just such a what does Jim Harbaugh do with the Chargers and Justin Herbert? You've got to believe something, you know, something much better can happen there. So it's so loaded and so treacherous for teams to navigate this. You know, if you're in the AFC, you're in for a real battle to try to go the distance.
Vic, I'm curious. Nathan and I were talking about this the other day in terms of, like, the mindset of a fan base. And it does feel like the NFL, you know, we think back to when we were kids, and there were many great runs, and you're in a town where they had one of them that didn't culminate with a Super Bowl. And we had one here where we didn't even reach a Super Bowl in the late 80s with Bernie and all those guys, that the fan base still looks back on incredibly fondly without necessarily having the ultimate success. It feels like now there is such a more onus on, if you don't win the Super Bowl, God, what happened here, right? Take me in the head of a Bills fan, and now that this is no question a transition time for the franchise. You had this run, you had all of these guys, right? Diggs and Vaughn and the secondary and all of that. Many of those faces are gone, new faces coming in. It's a transition phase. How satisfied are they with this run they've had under Josh Allen?
That is, I think, a fascinating topic, and for me to absorb it, I'm only saying this because I think the way my brain attacks the whole subject, it includes my time there, my time in Cleveland, and knowing how much the past, it was a distant past, of course, of those Browns teams with Bernie and getting and those just torturous losses in conference championship games against Denver, and actually covering those as I did back in the day when I was in, you know, working in Buffalo, and then but knowing and being educated by those there about more of that, the detail of that history, and then how the Browns fans continued to keep their faith and loyalty, and then team moves, team comes back, and there's still that embrace of, hey, you know, the hope is there. And then, you know, where does it, and then chasing quarterbacks and not getting that. All of that is a parallel to Buffalo, because after the four Super Bowls in which they played with Jim Kelly and company and Hall of Famers that were on that roster, then there was this darkness, these years of non-competitive teams. Again, cycling through quarterbacks, which is always the conversation, and coaches, because when you cycle quarterbacks, you cycle coaches. And then they get to a point when Sean McDermott arrives with Brandon Bean in 2017. They make the playoffs pretty much by accident that year. It counts, but it wasn't, not the schedule that they were seeing. It got more real when Josh shows up. And that's when you start having those notions and dreams that something really good is in place. And then Diggs is a part of that, very much so, when they acquire him. And the two of them carry – there were these Allen Diggs signs for the 2020 presidential elections. People made up these Allen Diggs signs. That they were the ticket. And they're still on lawns in Western New York. And nailed into trees and homes. If you drive around the stadium, I don't know if they've ripped them down now, but they were there. My point is that people had, it's all been based on, just like Cleveland, hopes and dreams, and that's what you're investing in. The fan base has done the same thing here. Now, the difference is this. So they continued, they've been a steady playoff team, steady division winner, but they got to one conference championship game, lost to Kansas City. The divisional loss after that to the Chiefs, the 13-second game, which is, you know, right, the drive, the fumble in Cleveland, wide right, and go down the list, and no goal for the Sabres against against the Dallas Stars Stanley Cup final, and then this one, you know, and the 13 seconds, that's all you got to say. And Bills fans get nauseated. They have a weird look on their face, and they just can't, the pain of that moment, because it's a game they essentially effectively won. Josh Allen couldn't have done it any better. The league makes a legacy rule from that game to allow overtime in the playoffs so the other team can get the ball because Josh Allen didn't get the ball in that game. That's why that rule was created. It was created as a legacy rule to Allen and the Bills. So that makes us – but it's in a losing effort. So does it make people feel good, or does it accentuate the pain of what might have been? And then add to this many layers. I know this is a long answer, but I really think it's important to add this. They're building a new stadium across the street from the old one. I don't know if you guys know anything about stadiums being built. You know, that's a thing in the league where a team's want new stadium. So across the
street, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I know you have no idea. A mayor didn't know. I don't know what, here? Brook Park? No. Anyway, so across the street from the stadium, they're building this new stadium. And you know, there's a hole dug, some steel is going up. It's supposed to be done by 2026. PSLs, personal seat licenses, are, of course, being introduced for the first time to this fan base. And the early numbers, now they're starting with the most expensive, the club and suite holders, and those seats. And there was a director of a funeral home, pretty, not the biggest, but one of the bigger funeral homes. Hope I'm not there anytime soon. But anyway, this guy, $50,000 he was told for each of his eight seats. So $400,000 in PSLs. And that's before he pays for the tickets. And, you know, he goes on, he went on our station channel, the NBC affiliate channel too, and said, hey, I'm not doing it. And he wasn't like goofy about it. He just said it straight up. They told me the price. I said, I can't do it. He said their response was, they being the Bills, you're going to miss out on a great stadium. Okay. So how do I tie it into the whole question of fan base? You're now selling something more expensive than any of the folks here have dealt with. And again, that's before probably the tripling of cost of tickets and everything else in a stadium that's going to be 10,000 plus seats, smaller than the current one. So you're fewer seats, higher prices, obviously. It's, you know, the whole supply-demand conversation.
Sure, sure.
Parking, concessions, all that. All right, now you're saying, what are you buying? And the best thing you can sell, last I checked, is championships. And is there one in the near future? Let's put it this way. This is the 2024 season coming up. Are they getting one in these next 48 months or whatever it is to have one that can or two, that can enhance the selling of this new entity, this new stadium, which is going to be, by all accounts, a beautiful you know, except for the fact that it doesn't have a dome on it, which I fully disagree
with.
It's
crazy.
It's crazy. And so
it's insane.
So the cost of doing, I mean, I think that's where you ask a fan right now in Buffalo how he or she feels about the price of what's there and how they feel about the current team. They want the current team to show them more. And you know how that is. Are they going to have a parade for Sean McDermott if there's another playoff loss, another falling short? Are they still going to feel good about it? All they've seen, there was a guy, you may remember him in Browns history. His name was Marty Schottenheimer. And when he coached the Chargers, did he not have double-digit wins and find his way out of San Diego at the time, right? Because that wasn't good enough. Because they didn't win, you know, they didn't win at all.
Yeah. No, that's it. When it comes, that's it. There's so many layers to it. Appreciate you, buddy. As always, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time, pal.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. You know that.
That is the great
Notorious
Vic Carucci, the godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily. Your Griff Fact of the Day and a Mailbag Thursday edition still
forthcoming on this program. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I'm late. I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join NextGen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns being NextGen STM. Best chance to become a season ticket member of future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Time for the Griff Fact of the Day. Hit it.
Ew. Fact of the day, fact of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff Fact of the Day.
Matt Rempe, who is a 21-year-old rookie for the New York Rangers, is the first player in NHL history to be ejected in his first three games against a single team. He's been ejected every time he's played against the New Jersey Devils, including last night. Against the Devils this season, he's played three games. He's been 47 penalty minutes, five total minutes on the ice, and three ejections. And started the game last night with a fight.
So, not only that, so this he's a phenomenon in hockey. In the hockey world, he's become a phenomenon in the hockey world. Hockey over the last decade has phased out the fighting. You've seen less and less of it. Fewer and fewer enforcers. This dude is making hay by beating, and they're the best team. The Rangers are the best team. So he's a kid. He's 21, rookie, and he's fighting over and over, and they love it. And so last night when they played the Devils, not only is everything you said true, 10 players were ejected. Five Rangers, five Devils, all ejected. So they had to play with short staffs the rest of the way. They only had three lines the rest of the way. And he's just – he's a phenomenon. At this point, like he's one of the most talked about things in hockey.
He has two career points and three career ejections.
Yeah, I mean, he fights every opportunity. Yeah. He fights all the time.
Well, but, he likes to fight.
And they pushed it out of the league.
All right, yeah. So here's, I'm going to see if I can please you with my hockey knowledge. I'm going to give you the name of a guy that, from my very limited knowledge of hockey, that I believe was a great enforcer.
All right.
Ty Domi.
Yeah. Well, his kid was in Columbus.
Is that right, though?
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, Ty Domi. Yeah, he played for the Maple Leafs, and he was one of those guys. And everybody had, for a while, every team had one of those guys. Marty McSorley protected Gretzky back in the day. So there was always one of those guys who you brought him along with. They protected the face, and they were ready to go fight. And so, yeah, Ty Domi's one of those guys. But the NHL, they don't really have many of those guys. Like, the guy who does color for the Blue Jackets on the television, Jody Shelley, he was one of those guys. And he's a friend. I have him on all the time. And those type of players aren't really in the league anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, there aren't many of this guy out there. There used to be one on every team.
Every team.
Yeah. Every one.
It used to be, if you remember the great scene in Swingers when they're playing hockey, they used to be in there. Yeah. You could brawl the game, and you could, like, bloody a guy up.
Yeah, Little Wayne's head bleed. That was the whole thing. Yeah. You guys seen Swingers?
Griff has.
Good job, Griff. Thank God.
Griff.
Up. Stock market up.
We compared it to either Happy Gilmore or Slapshot when we were talking about it earlier.
So
about how much he fights.
Yeah. It's something that was used to be in the league all the time. Every team had an enforcer, and you would have the fighting, but they just don't have it. So this guy's been a phenomenon. Like, the whole league's talking about him, and they're saying we got to get more fighting back into the sport. But it's a slippery slope because a lot of those guys who were enforcers in the 90s and 2000s, there's a lot of suicide. There's a lot of brain damage that happened for those guys.
Yes.
I mean, it's bare-fisted fighting.
Bare-knuckle brawling.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always a slippery slope for the league. You did see Sandler on with your boy DP that Gilmore 2 is happening?
That it's happening, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Unfortunately,
the heckler just passed.
He did.
You give, and is Bob Barker's not around anymore?
No.
Sad. Give me a you did your WWE storyline. What's a storyline that would be satisfying with Gilmore too?
Isn't it going to have to be like his progeny? I don't think we're going to see Gilmore and Shooter on the senior tour. That doesn't feel like that's a that.
But is, so is it like, is he like a hottie toddy Gilmore now? Like he made all the money on the golf and his kid's a punk and now he's got to try and
rein him in
or rediscover his.
His zest.
His zest for all of that?
I don't know.
Who's the actor that does that? It's a tough needle to thread.
It's an odd sequel.
Yes.
It's an odd sequel.
Yeah. You know, those are the last.
Chubbs. You have no Chubbs.
No.
Well, he
his grandma
died in the movie anyways.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but he would come back like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Those are still my two favorite, Madison and Gilmore. Those I haven't seen anything Sandler's done in probably 20 years.
I don't think you need to.
I've seen Big Daddy.
Big Daddy was great.
That wasn't bad. But the first, it's not on those two's level.
And what's the Bobby Boucher?
That was all right. Yeah.
Waterboy?
Waterboy's okay. But Gilmore and Madison were next level.
On another level.
Another level. All right, good job. It is a Mailbag Thursday. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Ever thought about hitting golf balls inside Cleveland Browns Stadium? You know I do. Anytime, especially a dome stadium. Anytime I walk into a dome stadium, I just think it would be fun to just. Oh
man! Especially in a golf dome,
it'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Your chance to do this will be Upper Deck Golf. Play an epic round of golf inside Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's June 21st and 22nd. Enjoy a unique VIP golfing experience while hitting tee shots from the upper deck throughout the stadium down to custom greens on the field below. For more info, go to upperdeckgolfing.com. Book a tee time. That's upperdeckgolfing.com. How will you play a round? How will that work, do you think?
I think there's just various targets, and then you go, this will be the first hole.
There's the first hole. Yeah. Do you think, are you stationary, you think, in one spot in the upper deck, or do you
perhaps you walk around?
Walk around, and you hit one from here?
I don't know.
What club would you need?
I feel like anything over a wedge, I'm hitting.
I think you're
going to
hit
it
into the out of the other end of the other side of the stadium.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of flop shots.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of little pitches.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Otherwise, yeah, it would be. I definitely could hit it from. I could hit it into the water
for sure
with a driver, especially bouncing on that parking lot.
Oh yeah, boing boing,
easy,
gone. You came up this morning. I was with NBC. Goes, Dad, do you think you're ever going to hit a driver again? Just out of the blue, as I was taking
to
school. I said, I'd like to. I hope I could get good enough that I can do that again. And I really should play more when I have some more.
This summer at one point. Let's get out there with the boys.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I think they'd have fun.
They would. And the reason that this came up is he said, well, and I said, you know, as you know, I really don't golf much at all. Like I golf with you guys on a Sunday. You know, go play 6-7 holes with you guys. But I said, I don't ever play. And he's like, well, of your friends, are there any great golfers? And I said, yeah, there's several. And he said, well, who's the best? I said, Mr. Z would be the best. He goes, Mr. Z? He goes, well, what's he shooting? I said, well, he's scratch, I think. And he goes, well, what does that mean? And I said, he shoots 71, 72. He goes, whoa. And I said, yeah.
In the 70s,
that's right.
For sure.
Yeah. Mid-70s. And so the funny, my very best friend from college, who I've known most of my whole life, he was scratched too. So like the guys that I've only played the one with you and we did the celebrity thing, but I played with my buddy Schleppy a few times and it's never much fun because he just crushes.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. But anyway, so that came up today with the,
I like
with
it.
Your, yeah.
Tell
them they were excited.
Show them. We'll give them the, we'll let them see some of the action.
Yeah. He just swings to beat hell. He hits it straight.
It's good.
Far.
Teach him to hit it as far as he can.
Somebody else said that to me. We were at a driving range out in California, and a former pro said that. He goes, just swing as hard as you can.
Yeah, you can turn
you can always turn
it
off.
Straight. You can't, you can't like start trying to just guide it straight and then figure out, oh, now I want to hit it with some juice. You're not going to
work.
Figure that out.
No, not going to work.
By the way, look what's come across my screen from the Browns.
What's that?
Radio producer at BGSU Gibbs and staff writer at Kelsey Russo explore two possibilities for the Browns' second-round draft pick. Draft on Tap presented by Bud Light.
Wait a second.
Is this
the BPA?
I think it's the BPA.
It's just an article.
It's just an article?
It's an article? Is there a video component?
I didn't see any video. I just read through the article part of it.
With that in mind, this is the first mock draft for ClevelandBrowns.com. Staff writer Kelsey Russo and radio and podcast producer Jason Gibbs make their own predictions for the Browns' second-round pick.
Oh, come on. Wait a second.
Gibbs, okay, kids, back at it again. If you don't like my picks, blame Kelsey. She made me do it. Smiley face emoji.
Sister,
I'm not making this up. Okay,
this is all real.
Not. I'm thinking more about the position than the actual name for now. Defensive tackle. Oh, the Browns go best player available here. And continue to build depth. They're saying OH, I'm guessing. Build depth on the interior defensive line. He had a big Senior Bowl week, which helped him. He's a guy that Jim Schwartz might be able to move around in his defense. And who doesn't love the Browns draft in a Buckeye?
Kels is locked in on Malachi Corley.
Yeah.
She gets it. She knows.
That's Uno's. I think there are a lot of fans of Malachi around. Gibbe.
All right, hit the mailbag.
Come on, what's better? We should literally just leave. I mean, that was what's better.
Next
than,
level.
What's
next.
Better than what just happened?
Nothing.
No.
Go ahead, Uno.
I don't have any questions. I thought they send them to you guys.
Oh, for God's sakes,
Uno!
All right, enough.
Nobody
from
has
the clown.
My Twitter.
Uno.
Well, why? We need to. Why is BGSU Gibbs being in all the tweets? We need to have you in it.
Gibbons put me in like once or twice, and then I got no followers from it. So
oh, for
that's
God's
on
sakes.
The people. Some Jade McCray followed me. I'll give her that. She was the one.
It could be. Well, Jade, that's.
Shout out to you.
She's the best.
Jade, legend.
Pure legend. Absolute
legend.
Best.
Living legend.
Yeah. Enough from the clown. I'd like to get Uncle Bo's take. What Seinfeld Curb storyline would you like to see play out at the CBD office? I think we were, did I mention?
We've talked about it.
We have. You and I mentioned any of the golf ones would be a lot of fun.
Give a man the contest.
Come again?
Exactly.
That's right. There's one with Gil in season one that I think would be very funny for the three of us showing up at Gil's house would be very funny. I've been watching some of the old ones.
I'd like to be with the Funk Man.
Anything with the Funk Man would be great. Like, wouldn't it be so much fun to be at that dinner table with Bam Bam?
Yes.
Bam Bam Funkhauser?
Yes. Jeff, Bam Bam, Larry.
Funk Man.
Yeah.
Susie. Throwing 98,000.
Yeah. That's an underrated episode.
That's an unbelievable episode, is that. Yeah, that's fantastic. There's a lot of great ones. Much of the... I think this, from a Seinfeld perspective, you have to remember, too, like, the Seinfeld storylines, once you got past season probably two or three, like, each character had a story arc in every episode.
Yeah.
There was so much going on in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, LD, he would lead it on Curb. It breathes. Not that. No. I mean, Seinfeld.
What about the Merv Griffin?
That was unbelievable with Cosmo with that.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, that would be a good one. All right, this from Enough from the Clown as well. What's the most outrageous falsehood Gibby has told producing Cleveland Browns Daily? Well.
Wednesday night taped.
For the new audience and for the
and
kids.
And for the kids. They don't think they know. I don't think they heard this.
We
This is true.
This is.
Yeah, we have not heard this. I don't there's think. Audi-
there's,
told us off air.
No.
This is
there's audio of it.
True.
There's a video recording of it. Actually, I would recommend you watch the video recording of it because our disbelief is so evident in our faces. We're doing the show. We say something about, we somehow land on Saturday Night Live. And he goes, out of nowhere, voluntarily, you know that's taped. And I say something to the effect of, come again? What?
Come again? Yeah.
I don't believe that. No. Yeah. He's pretty emphatic. Yeah. They taped that on Wednesday.
Interesting.
Gibbe.
He knows somebody on the show, and that's how they do it. So then we asked him, hey, Gibbe, how in the news do they have things in there that happened Saturday morning?
That's right.
He really thought it was Wednesday night taped.
He was emphatic that they recorded Saturday Night Live on Wednesday night.
Yep.
He means like the recent shows, because they do that news thing, and that's like very updated.
No. He means
the show that you watch called Saturday Night Live,
yes.
He believes is taped on a Wednesday night and aired on a Saturday night, and is not, in fact, Saturday Night Live.
That's right. Unbelievable.
It was something. In fact, that was it. Became,
like, I don't watch that much, but when I well, do,
but
it, like,
it, but you have to remember too, like, we came from an era where everybody watched
correct.
Saturday
yes.
Night Live,
yeah, and I know many people who have gone
to
on
Saturday?
A Saturday night to watch Saturday Night Live.
That's right.
And they in real life, they in real life have been watching yeah. what was put on television. The other thing he said as a producer that ties into that as well is the week one of the COVID season, I was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And Gibbe and Jim and Doug were here calling the game. I traveled and I was in the crowd with the Ravens band and a couple security people, and that was it.
Yep.
And it was not a fun game for us.
No.
And at one point, I had said something about some plays to Gibbe in his ear, and he goes, "Dude, you must be behind." Because, like, they ran the same play twice in a row, and he's like, "You must be behind." I was like, "I'm here in real life watching this.
If anyone's behind,
not me.
It ain't me."
Yeah. He's like, "I think you're behind." No. I'm not, because I'm here.
It's impossible right. for me to be behind.
So, it's insanity.
Truly. All right. Who is the most interesting person you know?
I would have said my
Zago probably would have been.
Yeah, Zago would be up there.
You got several. You got
a few.
You got a few people out there that we've talked about on the program before, yeah. who could pass for most interesting man.
I mean, if you think of like where Ashton started and what his character was portrayed to be on that 70s show,
yeah.
to the business mogul that he has become,
yeah,
he's a fascinating person.
Yeah,
The Miz is obviously a very interesting person,
yeah.
just in what he's been able to achieve.
His thing's so cool because my introduction to him was on Real World.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, he made that happen.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the Real World.
Wanting to be a wrestler,
wanting to be creating The Miz, and then did it. Like, that happened.
Yeah. And
like,
had one of the greatest careers.
Yeah. It's nuts. That part's nuts. Reddit work. Favorite snack food at 76, Lou Groza. I'll tell you what I miss, because I used to eat here all the time. I really miss the soups. I used to love a good soup.
We've
down
gotten
there.
Back to a more broth-based soup collection, which I'm pleased with. Thank you. You're welcome. For those yeah. of you who also appreciate more broth, and because we were running cheese and potato and broccoli.
That's not
like,
a soup. That's
a
almost
soup.
A dip, to be honest.
It's closer to a dip than a soup, and it's also a heavy thing to have in the middle of the day.
The owner of the Oakland A's calls Sutter Health Park the most intimate park in Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah, because that's like saying when the Chargers were playing at the soccer stadium, that it was the most intimate stadium
in the
NFL. Well, yeah,
it is,
because it's
tiny,
20,000 people here.
So much more to come. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, so we're out tomorrow. We're out tomorrow, and we're out Monday.
Well, tomorrow we're on location.
We're on location, but we will not be on the air.
There will be a podcast that you can get that will be posted online, but we are going to be alive at the Great Lakes Collectors Convention presented by Greeny Sports Cards tomorrow in
there
Independence.
You go.
There's a card to you and a card to me, which I'm excited about.
I hope they're physical.
I'd like a card. Jeremy, if you're listening
out
there.
That'd be great.
We would like a card.
And if there's a physical card, that would be great.
It even has the eclipse in the upper right-hand corner. Like, it's pretty.
I like it. Look at the deets. I saw it. It's great. Deets. I love the deets. I think it's great.
Yeah, wonderful.
And then we've got Monday.
Because it's the eclipse.
And it's Guardians opener.
Guardians opener.
So that's how that's going to be. So we'll be back Tuesday. Gibby may still be in Florida.
Who knows?
Who knows? It's all in play.
Yeah.
Next level's next. Thanks for listening, buddy. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.